Time now for sports on 104.7 The Cave. Here's Ned Reynolds.
Mike the intern, Ned Reynolds. We got our coffee. It's Friday. Weather's looking good so far, fingers crossed. And let's talk some sports, my man. So, college football. They've got a new playoff plan, is that right?
It is a new proposal for one. And I'm not surprised that that's happened. Heck, we've been talking about it for years. They need to expand from four teams. But the number that this committee suggested absolutely blows my mind. They not just doubled the playoffs, they tripled them.
So we're going 12 teams now?
12 teams. That is the proposal. Now, it's not going to happen right away if it does happen. It has to go to another committee, and then it has to go to the NCAA convention for complete approval on this thing. But the 12 teams, this is a committee of four very astute individuals. And I didn't go on the corner and say, hey, help us with this thing. These are four outstanding and very well-documented individuals who have worked on this for several years. A 12-team plan, and the way it would work, if it's accepted, is there would be six conference champions and six independent teams or non-conference teams. There would be no automatic qualifiers. The six conference champions are not automatic. They have to be rated very high. Well, you have to assume if they're the
conference champions,
Big Ten, Patro, they're going to be rated very high. So you assume that'll be the case, but it isn't necessarily. And then there will be the independent teams will be, well, Notre Dame is an independent. They will not be. There'll be no automatic qualifiers, none. Now, the top four of all the rated teams will get a first-round bye in this thing. But the way it's going to work is it will probably be the first couple of playoff games will be on the home fields of the top-rated teams. Then they'll go to neutral sites like they do now. Now, it won't happen right away. The four-team plan is intact until 2025, so it has four more years to go before the contract runs out. They won't break that.
Yeah.
But then when that ceases, then it's interesting to see how they work this thing. It's going to be extremely interesting, but the thing that bothers me about it is that it's 12 teams and not just four. This is putting those athletes at more work than they have been accustomed to. What's it going to do to your schedule? Are you going to pay a 12-game regular schedule then have a whole lot more playoff games?
Yeah.
Well,
are we adding games? That's really
a
big question.
And not a proponent of paying players' salaries, but I am now leaning more toward that because you're asking these student athletes, quote-unquote, to do a whole lot more than what they have been under selected circumstances. Yeah, I think they should get a remuneration for it.
If that's the case, though, I mean, you look at it also, these kids aren't stupid, and I mean, especially for seniors that are looking to get drafted within a few months after this is supposed to happen, I mean, you would think that some of them are just going to say, I love my school, but I can be making millions and millions of dollars if I just don't do this and get myself hurt trying to get a national championship. That's also going to play into a factor. We've got 1,500 different bowl games. Just to throw them on that. Do we really care who's playing the napkin bowl? I mean, who cares? Like, throw them in that. We've already got them all. Just let them happen.
Apparently, the bowl games, the extra bowl games you're talking about, are money makers because this year, without the pandemic, they went from 39 last year down to about 21 or 20. Had to be reduced. This year, they're going back to 44. 44 bowl games. Well, what they will do, this apparently brings in money to these schools, and they all need the money. But what it does to the players that you're talking about, that's another story, and that'll have to be adjudicated somewhere.
I'm sure they're going to have to figure that one out, because adding games, especially at that point, then you're looking at some really weird ways you're going to have to look at the season, too, and how they're going to have to approach it. It's going to get real confusing. 12 is a lot. I was thinking more along the lines of like eight. Maybe six. I would have, six kind of sucks, but at the same time, hell, it's better than four. So, who is the national champion of women's college softball?
Sooners, Oklahoma wins
Congratulations.
Their fifth national title. This
wow.
is five up now. The College World Series for softball is played in Oklahoma City. It's a beautiful stadium. It's the Hall of Fame stadium down there. It is gorgeous. Double deck, and they have big crowds. Well, Oklahoma won it yesterday afternoon, defeated Florida State 5-1. It's a national championship number five. And this flies under the radar. We talk about Oklahoma football and sometimes Oklahoma basketball. Hey, how about softball? 5 national championships now.
It's like an Alabama team right there, sir.
In a sense, it is, yes. And as a matter of fact, that was one of the teams they beat.
Well, congratulations to those ladies. There's no way I could ever hit one of those softballs coming at me 115 miles an hour.
From 46 feet away.
Yeah, man, no way. I just stick my bat out, see what happens. So, the NFL and its ever reaching goal of expanding worldwide. You know, we've had games in London, we've had games in Mexico. I don't know if they're going to be able to pull this off, but now they're thinking about what, putting a team or at least a game in Germany now?
Forget the latter statement. Pulling it off, they would not have announced this if they're not going to pull it off. That's the way the NFL works. They allowed yesterday as to how they're going through plans now to have games in 2022, next season, not this coming, but next season, in Germany. How many? Remains to be seen. Probably, certainly one, and maybe two. And where to play them is also something of a problem for the NFL. When they played in London, they have Wembley Stadium and some others that seat about 75, 80,000. In Germany, they don't have any stadiums that seat any more than 65,000. Oh, horrors! What are we going to do?
Really? Well, the soccer's big over there. I would have figured they'd have stadiums that would hold more than 65.
You would think Olympic Stadium in Munich or Berlin would have something, but no, not that they're equipped for football.
That's surprising.
Not that they can play football. So the thinking was the perfect place to have these games would be Munich, because they have Oktoberfest in Munich.
Dude, and that's millions, exactly what I was going to say.
Millions of people go there, many of them in September before the Oktoberfest really gets underway. That may be a considerable factor in figuring out where these games, but count on it, 2022, the NFL will have games in Germany.
I'll tell you this right now, if the Chiefs are going to Germany and it's Oktoberfest, I'm going. And I'll tell you right now, the kingdom, if we're all out there in Germany in Oktoberfest, some of us aren't coming back. We talked about some of the possibilities the St. Louis Cardinals could take up on, definitely needing help in their pitching staff, and this one has come up now. I think it would be interesting if they could pull this one off.
I'm going to level with you, Mike. I followed this game very closely. It's part of my profession. I did not even realize the guy they're talking to was even playing anymore. He is, this is going to blow your mind a little bit, longtime Cardinals fans will know this name. From 2011, he had a 9-3 record here with the Springfield Cardinals. Their number one pick in 2009. It's been bouncing around in the minor leagues. Is now a free agent. His name is Shelby Miller. And the Cardinals are talking to Shelby Miller about coming back. He did pitch with the Chicago Cubs in April. Gave up 7 runs, 7 hits in 2 innings. Cubs said sayonara. So he has been a free agent since then. He may have toyed around with the Iowa Cubs for a while, or the team in Tennessee that plays the Tennessee Smokies. But in terms of big league ball, when he was traded to the Atlanta Braves back in 2014, they didn't keep him very long. He bounced around in the minor leagues for a number of years. He's still playing. He's 30 years old. He was 20 when he played down here in 2011. Everybody remembers him because he was going to be the next savior of the Cardinals, and he never really panned out. But bottom line is this. The Cardinals are rumored to be talking to him. They want him to come back, eat some innings, and help out the pitching staff as is. And he certainly isn't going to be very expensive at all. So that is the latest rumor. Of course, there are others being bandied about too, but they're not likely to come to fruition if they do for quite a while yet. Shelby Miller might be.
They're going to need some depth. I mean, that's where they're at right now. You hit the nail right on the head, man. It's about filling those innings, especially with the way the Cardinals manager likes to manage the pitching staff. Those guys actually have a pretty important series against the Cubs this weekend, so go Cards. Now, how did the Royals do last night on the West Coast?
One. They finally broke the losing streak.
Broke
the losing streak and came away with a win over the division leaders in the West, the Oakland A's. That's very nice. 6-1 was the final score. Andrew Benintendi had a couple of hits, a couple of RBIs, and Mike Minor pitched very well. When you knock off the Oakland A's, who are a very good baseball team, you've done pretty well. I think the Royals are, too. The Royals are just having a problem with consistency in their whole attack. Anyway, it was Kansas City 6, Oakland 1, and they'll play again tonight at the Coliseum.
Hopefully they can get another win. How's the NBA playoffs going right now?
The Brooklyn-Milwaukee game was an absolute dandy. Brooklyn went into the series, it's best of 7, and the Brooklyn Nets led 2-0. Well, the Milwaukee Bucks beat them in the stretch. Brooklyn had a chance to win at the buzzer and did not get it done. Missed a layup. Anyway, Milwaukee gets the win, narrow, but the Brooklyn Nets still lead that series 2-1. Out in Salt Lake City, Utah, the Utah Jazz beat the Los Angeles Clippers again. Utah has a 2-0 lead in that series. More competition coming up tonight and this weekend.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I know sometimes home court really doesn't mean a whole lot, but it did in Milwaukee last night, that's for sure. Those Brooklyn Nets dudes are no easy game. Ned, you have a great weekend.
To you, sir.